Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Real Point of View. I'm your host, Greg Morgan, and I am joined by one of my co-hosts, the electrifying Miss Karen D. And she is the must-see... Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Larry, because Larry got hurt, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm sorry, I'm joined by Karen D., the movie maven. And we want to kind of send a shout-out to our brethren, our other co-host, Mr. Larry Domkowski of Must-See Movies, who was in an accident, and he's recovering from his wounds, I guess it is. So we want to send a shout-out and some prayers to his speedy recovery. And
yes,
tonight we're going to talk about a few movies kind of into the situation where, you know, technology has become such a big, important part of our lives lately. And we have to keep in mind that the military has been using a lot of the technology that we have long before we did. And we're going to even go back in time a little bit and talk about some films where technology was the difference between life and death and winning a war and all that good stuff. A little spy thing here and there with the codes and the behind-the-scenes stuff and things that the government doesn't seem to want to talk to us about, but we end up seeing it in the news and things like that. So, movie maven, Miss Karen D., you kind of came up with the theme for this week's show, so why don't you kind of give us an insight as to why you were curious about these movies to talk to our listeners out there about.
Okay, I'm happy to, Greg. The reason I thought about maybe doing this as a show is because I recently saw a film. It's a 2014 film, where it came out in 2014, with Chris Hemsworth and Viola Davis among the stars, called Black Hat. And I guess I'll just start out by saying I was stunned with how bad this movie was.
All right.
And I thought, okay, if this movie, I thought to myself, I'm really like technology. I'm really interested in technological issues, especially as far as they affect, you know, all of us, just like general non-tech people. What is the impact of technology on our lives? And I thought, this is a really interesting subject, and it takes an amazing amount of effort to make a subject that's as intensely interesting as it is to me be so boring in the actual movie. I was shocked at how bored I was. And I'm like, I love technology. Why am I bored to tears? So then I start thinking, what about some other movies that have to do with technology? Are they all this bad, or weren't there some good ones? So that's when I started thinking about some of the movies that first started talking about hacking or alluding to issues with regards to identity theft, hacking, military dominance and the use of technology. So that's what brought me to the films that I'd like to focus on today. The first one is War Games. It was released in 1983. It stars Matthew Broderick, Ally Sheedy, Dabney Coleman, Barry Corbin are among the people who star in this movie. And this movie I just thought, for one, it's a charming movie. I mean, it deals mm-hmm. with hacking, it deals with world annihilation, but it's still charming, which I think, how does the movie, you know, grab that balance or achieve that balance? I think that was pretty cool. Matthew Broderick is sort of not too dissimilar from his Ferris Bueller character, except that he seems to care more about the consequences of his actions, so that's nice. Ally Sheedy is the typical sort of girl in that she's there as, like, I don't know, visual interest, but doesn't. She just has a few ideas, but not that many. And the adults have no idea what's going on. So, except for maybe one adult. But what this movie focused on was sort of like the hacking culture. It sort of alluded to that. And Matthew Broderick is this kid who's a real tech genius and bored to tears in school. And so he starts looking for, he starts trying to hack into different systems. He's already hacked into the school grades and changed his grades and his friends' grades. And then he starts looking for, like more challenging games, and he finds a gaming company and he tries to hack into their system, but he accidentally logs into a computer that generates war games on behalf of NORAD. And the computer is a learning computer, and the way that Matthew Broderick hacks into it, the computer thinks that he is the creator, and the computer says the famous line, the catchphrase of the movie, "Do you want to play a game?" And of course that's where things get started. The computer thinks it's trying to run different scenarios on how to destroy the world with a nuclear war, and the adults who run NORAD have no idea whether the computer thinks the game is real or not. So that's the focus of the movie. It's very charming in that there are comedic elements, because Matthew Broderick is sort of funny. He's bewildered and funny at the same time, but he's also really smart. And then Ally Sheedy is supportive, but she's definitely sort of in a co-star in the movie. His parents are completely, I don't know what to make of his
oblivious
parents.
Is a good word.
Complete, yes, oblivious. There's the word. I don't know how they actually made it as parents. They were so clueless. And Dabney Coleman is not, I mean, he could be very sinister, but he is sort of serious, but also, you know, approachable, reasonable up to a certain point. And Barry Corbin is also almost crazy, but not quite. So it's very interesting just to watch this whole notion of, like, getting into a system and a back door. Right now, back doors are so important, and there's a huge controversy amongst not just the technological community, but also countries. Our own FBI is extremely upset about the ways in which Apple phones and Android phones can be locked down, and what do they want? They want a back door. They were talking about back doors in 1983. That was 32 years ago. So everything old is new again. And for a movie that has really just old school, completely anachronistic technology, it still resonates, because we're talking about back doors today. We're talking about scenarios and AI, artificial intelligence, is a huge issue right now. Well, it was a huge issue in 1983, too. This computer mm-hmm. was a learning computer, and it's sort of reminiscent of 2001, A Space Odyssey, with the computer HAL, again, a learning computer. So very interesting movie in different ways, ahead of its time, and sort of a very much a part of the 1980s. It had a very 1980s vibe to the movie, but very well done, I thought.
Do you think it was kind of a precursor to all these other movies, i.e. that we're talking about, like the hacking situation? Here's a hacker who is doing things just because he wants to have fun, not really realizing the true implications of what his hacking actually did, the almost horrific results of it. Do you think there are some hackers who are still in that mode, or do you think the hackers nowadays are a lot more defiant and a lot more projected on what their true intentions are?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it, I mean, to me, my opinion, we still have elements of both. I mean, I think you've got, you do have like the kids or the people who are just interested in technology, who just want to like muck around with systems and see what they're made of. And a lot of that involves breaking them apart and putting them back together again. That's just mm-hmm. how you do that. At the same time, what's gotten the focus, the interest, are the sinister people in the gray markets, the black markets, in the dark web, what's now called the dark web, who are after money, primarily after money. And even when they're stealing identities, it's not for the thrill of seeing, oh, can I get this identity? It's for money. And there's this huge network that has sprung up around the acquisition of money because it's a victimless crime, it's a non-confrontational crime, or at least that's how it's viewed. Of course, it's not a victimless crime, but it's in, you don't have to confront people. You can amass millions of dollars in seconds. So there's a maximum return on investment for very little effort. There's very little chance of getting caught. So that's where we, I think, as, you know, in Western countries are sort of focused on that. But that doesn't mean that these other people have gone away. I think mm-hmm. they're still very much a part of our culture. We just don't pay attention to them as much. And, you know, there's also this effort to just, you know, try to capture the imagination of some of these hackers. You know, you have white hat hackers and black hat hackers. And, you know, you pay people. Google is famous for paying people to break systems and to give them the information on how that's done. So we still have that. We just don't pay as much attention to it as we used to. Mm-hmm. Another movie that I wanted to mention that I'd like to focus on is a movie called Enigma. Now, you know, we were talking before the show, a real movie guy, and you rightfully mentioned that there are several movies named Enigma, which is extremely confusing. It's like, good grief. But anyway, the movie that I wanted to focus on was another 1983 movie with Martin Sheen and Bridget, I want to say her last name is Fosse, Sam O'Neill,
right.
Derek Jacobi are all in this movie. It's actually based on a true story about a plot to assassinate five CIA operatives on Christmas Day in Paris, and they were all supposed to be killed at the same time. And Martin Sheen plays this dissident who is sort of fighting the good fight for democracy in Paris and attacking the Eastern German regime. So that's sort of where he gets into this. And the Western authorities, British, French, contact him, CIA also involved, contact him and ask him to steal a motherboard from the Enigma machine. The Enigma machine was something that the KGB was using in Russia, and it's sort of the descendant of the original Enigma machine that was created by the Germans in World War II. So, mm-hmm. so the idea was that he was supposed to steal the motherboard, replace the motherboard with a fake one so that the KGB could not carry out its attacks on the CIA operatives. So very, again, a very interesting movie. There wasn't so much focus on this movie on computers, except that the whole point was to steal a piece, a significant piece of the computer. But the focus was more in this movie on the espionage, that the Martin Sheen character was an expert at disguises, and that the woman, which was very refreshing, the woman who helped him was a lawyer. Her father was in jailed for human rights activities, and she put herself on the line literally to try to help the Martin Sheen character achieve the aim of stealing that motherboard. And it's a very well done movie. It's not that long. It's less than 2 hours, and very, very interesting. The connection that I like about this movie is just the way that it harkens back to the Enigma, the original Enigma story. So, and it's definitely worth watching. I won't tell you what happened in the movie, but it is based on a true story. So I thought that was very interesting. Very good acting by Martin Sheen, Derek Jacobi, who to me is just a brilliant actor. Sam O'Neill, again, another brilliant actor. Very, very well done.
Now, ironically, with regard to the three movies called Enigma, excuse me, I'm sorry. So, ironically, you were talking about this particular movie goes back to the original machine back in World War II. I saw the movie Enigma that actually talks a little bit more in-depth about the machine. And it actually was a movie that took place in, the setting was 1943 in London. And we have the actors Del Grey, Scott, and Kate Winslet in this particular film. And this alludes to that same machine that you aforementioned and that the Germans had, that they had to, the English were trying to decode so that they could, you know, prevent negative things happening in the Atlantic, and also be aware of any U-boats and things like that. So it was actually a pretty good movie as well. But again, going back to that same Enigma machine, that coding machine that the Germans used, that the English were fortunately able to decipher and save tens of thousands of lives. And this is also mentioned in the most recent movie with Cumberbatch. I can't think of his first name right now.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Thank you. In the movie, what was that called?
The Imitation Game.
Thank you very much, Karen. The Imitation Game. So very similar movies as far as the scope, but all basically talking about that same Enigma machine. So so you had another movie. Now, I know you like both of those films, and I really enjoyed going back and seeing War Games again. What about this Black Hat movie? Now, you would think, with the actors that were in it, I thought it was actually going to turn out to be a pretty decent film, and I am a big fan of Viola Davis. But that wasn't quite the case, was it?
No. And I'm still trying to figure out to this day what the movie was about. That's how bad it was. It was so disjointed. It had such a stupid love story that was completely unnecessary. And I sort of vaguely remember that Chris Hemsworth was this guy in prison. And he looked awesome in prison. I'll just say as a side note, I mean, nobody who's in prison should look that good. But anyway, he looked awesome, but he's, you know, buff, but still like a top-notch hacker. And they decide that he's the only one who can, or our federal government decides that he's the only one who can help them do something with regard to the dark web and hacking and getting something or other that relates to something or other. It was so badly put together. I mean, the plot was just, what can I say about the plot? It was just really cobbled together with wooden pegs, you know, and disjointed and just sort of hackneyed. I struggle to find words. I was so bloody disappointed in this movie because I wanted to go to the movies to see it, and I'm so glad I didn't. I saved myself $10 over 2 hours of my life that I never would have gotten back. And I mean, the Viola Davis character, at one point she's there and she's like this critical piece of the puzzle and she's sort of running the operation, but then she sort of drops out and she's not really running anything, but then she shows back up again, but then, you know, but then she's in danger. And you know, and then of course there's Chris Hemsworth's girlfriend who's, you know, who's I guess some sort of programmer or something. I don't know. It's like the characters were badly drawn. The movie was badly written. It was badly directed. The visuals were nice. I mean, the, you know, location shots were nice. But the rest of the movie, oh, my God. It was, it's like even if you're interested in technology, you would be bored to tears. Tears. Crying.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's very rare in time that you have a foreign country that, in this case, it's China, has a meltdown in their system because of a hacker, that they send over one of their top brains and a military officer to the United States, and they finally decide to work with the FBI, and then you come to find out that the only way, and this goes to what you were saying earlier, Karen, the only way that they're going to be able to figure this out is getting Hemsworth's character out of jail, which just happens to be the Chinese military officer's ex-roommate at MIT in the United States when they were both students there.
Yeah.
So then that comes out. So the military officer persuades his sister, because he needs to trust somebody, he persuades his sister to come with him and work on this hacker situation, the RAT, the rat in the system.
Remote access terminal.
In the system. And come to find out, actually, the reason why the sister was actually there, she's actually a network engineer with regard to computers. But you wouldn't have known it by the movie.
Mm-mm.
See, that's why she was going, but yet somehow that didn't really matter in the film. It didn't resonate or present itself in the film. The only thing that really presented themselves was a lot of arguing between the three, and I'm going to do this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to come, and yet she's everywhere.
Right. And
you know, it was crazy.
In my opinion, unfortunately, Black Hat does a real disservice to what the hacker movies. It's a really interesting subject, and not just the notion of hacking, but just, you know, how we set up these systems and what do these systems mean to us as human beings, and how do they help us? How do they hurt us? When are they tools and when are they obstacles? These are really interesting questions, and they're going to become more and more interesting in the future, not less interesting. That's why artificial intelligence is now more, as much or more of an issue today as it was 20 years ago, as it was in 2001, A Space Odyssey, when Stanley Kubrick so brilliantly developed the character of HAL the computer. You know, well, Dave, I can't do that, Dave. You know, I mean, it was brilliant. And there's no excuse for a movie as bad as Black Hat in 2015. I'm sorry, there just isn't, because there are too many interesting, complex issues that can be addressed. And it's not like you have to deal with them all at once. You can just pick a couple of them or one of them and focus on that and have an amazing movie. I think an example of a really good movie about that sort of thing is The Imitation Game, with Benedict Cumberbatch and Keira Knightley and Matthew Good. This it wasn't a hacking movie, but it's a movie about the use of technology, and it was really interesting to see, you know, how Alan Turing just approach this major puzzle of this Enigma machine, and how the way in which he thought of ways to defeat it, and the constant frustrations he ran up against from the British government, from his own teammates and just with the machine itself. It was just this huge monster that he needed to wrestle. And enormously interesting, riveting, and, you know, life-changing. I mean, literally, because so many lives hung in the balance with regard to that. And I think you can do a movie, and it doesn't have to be about World War II, it doesn't even have to be about war, but I think it's possible to do a movie about technology and its place in our world, or our place with regard to technology. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be hackneyed. It doesn't have to have a stupid plot with a stupid love story, and it can be something that we care about, and we really need to care about it because we're all dealing with these issues. Okay, end of rant.
That's a good point. I think with the way that technology is ever changing, and it always has been, it just seems that of late, last 10, 15 years, that technology is so advanced that it's kind of getting away from us. And we're trying to find our way within the realms of the technology, and that's an ever constant battle, from our telephones to our computers to our laptops, our other types of handheld devices, things like that. So it's just a lot of information. It's wonderful that it's out there to be looked at, investigated, utilized, but at the same time, it's a little scary. It has its situations where we don't seem to understand everything, and it makes us leery, and it makes us sometimes take ourselves away from something that could actually be very helpful and positive for our future. But also, too, going back to The Imitation Game, I think one of the really cool things about that movie in the Enigma essence is that not only did it develop the character of the inventor / investigator, but it also, the character of the machine itself, the people around him, you got a better sense and understanding of the frustration, the grief, and the joy, all those mixed emotions within the realms of that particular film, where you didn't get that in Black Hat. Black Hat
right.
was a little scattered. And because it was scattered, it was hard to hone in on any true emotion other than the fact that they've got to get it done, and got to get it done now or else. And that was pretty much all you get. And
Chris had to look good while he was doing it, too.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, then there's obviously, in your opinion, Karen, some pluses other than the actual film and the acting quality. But aside from that, I really enjoyed watching the War Games again. I'd seen it back in the 80s, and I'm a Fairweather fan when it comes to Matthew Broderick, but I thought he did a pretty decent job in that film. And the Enigma that I saw was pretty decent, too. It was more of a mystery movie, kind of a who's the spy, let's find out who the spy is. Oh, and also I had a nervous breakdown film, but it's actually a pretty decent film for the most part. And I didn't get a chance to see the other film that you saw, Karen, with Martin Sheen, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. Well, we've come down to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed our rants and our raves today here on A Real Point of View. And do yourselves a favor, get a chance to see, all three of the Enigma movies if you'd like. But if you dare, go ahead and take a look at Black Hat. But most definitely, War Games is worth it. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. I'd like to thank Karen D. for the theme this week. Again, we're hoping Larry gets healthy soon and is back with us. But I want to say thanks again for listening to A Real Point of View. And as always, make sure you get out to the films and make sure you get out to the movies, ladies and gentlemen. You have a wonderful night. Take care, Karen.